I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick of being the butt of the joke. And by the joke, I mean being robbed, murdered, and having the birthright of our nation taken from us. And I don't know if that's really funny, but it seems to be something that everybody's laughing at, except for the majority of our country. I'm talking about the targeting of white people by minorities and the expectation that we're supposed to just ignore it. Top story today is a young girl was beaten to death by classmates or by teens in the neighborhood. If you can go to my screen here, Brian, I'm going to play a quick snippet of the video. I can't play a lot of it for you here because of its graphic nature, but watch. Well, there's no sound here because I have it edited there. All right. I'm going to leave that there. Anyway, this girl ended up being put into critical condition. We'll watch a little bit more of it later. And people don't even care. In fact, Cori Bush, the representative of this area, has decided she doesn't even want to weigh in on it. Because if you're white, the only right that you have in this country is to be and pay for reparations, pay the taxes for other minorities, and watch your children die. It's a very serious topic we're going to be discussing tonight. Plus, we'll be going over what happened in Haiti with the gang takeover of a man named Barbecue. There's no crawfish in this barbecue. And so much more on this episode of Nightly Offensive. My name is Elijah Schaefer. Let's begin the show. Well, shout out to everybody. We got a great story for you today. It's a breaking story. And to talk with me about this and so much more is my guest, Hayes Media Group. Welcome to Nightly Offensive.
Yeah, g'day. Thanks for having us on, Elijah. Proud and pleased to be here this afternoon with you, sorry. What can I say? These sort of crimes are being perpetrated all over the West. It's not just in America. It's happening everywhere here in Australia as well. Just over the weekend, there was another stabbing in my hometown of Perth, Western Australia. We've seen multiple ones in the last 2 weeks here in Queensland. It's happening everywhere. And it's honestly, it's sickening. We can't talk about the root cause of what a lot of these are, and it's because minorities are perpetrating these crimes. It's due to unfettered immigration, especially here in Australia, with numbers looking like in the last 18 months we've brought in 1 million immigrants, and our country alone, we cannot support these kinds of numbers. So it's a shame that our politicians are incredibly silent on it as well. And we're just going to see more and more of this across the West.
Well, it's as somebody commented recently, I wonder what America would be like if we had just picked our own cotton. I'm not saying that. Somebody said that. But it does seem, as we're going to be talking about today, it's easy to explain that, you know, the problems that we see with systemic crime in the U.S. are because of white people. But it's really hard to explain why it's the same case, whether it's Australia, whether it's New Zealand, whether it's Western Europe, whether it's Africa, whether it's Haiti. I mean, we can keep looking at the nations where these people are, and we seem to have the same problems, but it's not worth just talking about them. We have to look at solutions, which is reminding me that our top story today comes from the post-millennial. It is developing currently. A teen girl's in critical condition after being beaten by a mob, her head repeatedly bashed into concrete during a brutal fight near Missouri High School, reminding you, you can call them whatever you want. Mobs, teens, thugs, machete-wielding bandits, neighborhood rowdies. But we all know when they don't want to release the race, when they don't want to show the face, when they don't want to tell us what's going on, you can walk down the street of any city and I can tell you, some woman with a short haircut named Karen might be a bitch when it comes to getting her order right at the fast food drive-thru, but she's not going to be bashing your head into the concrete over a simple disagreement.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, they'll use any sort of wording they possibly can to describe these people without the actual words that we need to describe these people. I mean, if the biggest issue is like, if these people are on the run and they're still out there in the community, how's the community meant to isolate these people and actually go, hey, we saw such and such at XYZ? It's really tough. These kind of stories, they honestly just break my heart to see. And it also raises the question of, where are they learning this from? It's clearly in the home. It's clearly a lack of parenting. So what are we going to be doing about it? Because it's no matter where you go at the moment, it seems to be a youth issue. Our youths are lost. They've got no purpose. They've got no drive. So all they do is they base themselves in their worldly, bestial emotions, and they just let loose on anyone and everyone they can.
Well, and by youths, we're talking about youths who seem to have gotten more sun than other youths. I hope we're on the same page here. I do want to talk about this. We are going to go into this story and so much more. A huge shout out to Censored TV for supporting the show and to our sponsor for today, which is Hartford Gold. Guys, you know right now that we are in a time that is crazy to be alive. The US dollar has always been the primary currency, but that may not be the case much longer. We're seeing China's economy on the verge of collapse. The UK is on the verge of collapse. Australia is in a decline. Recession in Japan. What does that mean? They're either going to create a war, crash the economy, and or they're going to crash the markets, which means you got to have your money into alternate currency. I'm talking about gold and silver. Look at the crypto market, how fast it's rising. Everyone's buying up crypto because they realize that the US dollar is losing its value faster than you can even say it. So the collapsing US currency is causing unprecedented inflation issues, as we know, around the world. But don't let your life savings or any of the money that you have in your bank right now go to waste. Right now, you need to call our precious metal dealer that I trust, which is Hartford Gold, American Hartford Gold. They'll show you how to protect your life savings and your retirement accounts by diversifying your wealth portfolio with physical gold and silver. And here's the crazy part. With the finest products, amazing customer service, and a buyback commitment, American Hartford Gold has a 5-star rating from thousands of reviews and an A+ from the Better Business Bureau. American Hartford Gold supports content like this as committed to bringing you the truth. So support your wallet, your bank, and your savings. Tell them I sent you and they'll give you $5,000 of free silver on your first order. And I just read today that silver's bound to even beat gold, projected to hold its value. So call them now. Click the link in the description. It's in the description. Click it. It really helps. Or call 855-699-8392. That's 855-699-8392. Or text OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE, to 65532. Again, OFFENSIVE to 65532. Thank you to American Hartford Gold. Check it out today. All right, my guest today, Hayes Media Group. You can find him on Twitter directly in the description. Let's jump into this because we got a problem. We've got a problem in America. We've got a problem everywhere. And it seems that the problem is that we're not allowed to talk about the problem. It's a little bit like Fight Club, where there's real issues, but no one's allowed to talk about the issues. And only people that we can blame for issues are the people that built the society. And then they go, wait a second. Oh, that sounds racist, which is another word for cool people. But they go, that sounds racist. Excuse me, you didn't build this country. And my always response to that is, ironically, it's weird how I can't take credit for my ancestors building the country, but I'm supposed to take credit for slavery, which they didn't even own the ships or run the trade. But my ancestors didn't even own slaves. So I am supposed to take credit for the bad things that people in the past had done, but I'm not allowed to take credit for the good things. No, thank you. I want to go into this top story here today and talk about this with you. We're going to watch a little more of the clip here. This just happened in Missouri. Let's check this out. Oh, one second. Take that off the screen real quick, Brian. I got to refresh this. Give me a second. Take that off the screen. Give me one moment here. I guess it doesn't want us to. Here we go. All right. All right, I have to stop it there because this will get taken off the internet for showing violence because allegedly the teen is dead. I've heard mixed reports. I heard she died, AKA, or she was in critical condition. And the Post-Millennial reports this. If you can go to my screen, Brian, a female student from Hazelwood East High School in Missouri is in critical condition after appearing to suffer a serious head injury during a fight with a group of students on Friday. Graphic video shows another female student picking up the girl's head and reportedly bashing her head into the concrete after throwing multiple punches. The victim's body was left motionless on the ground. Again, I can't watch it there, and they seem to be having some glitches on their website. But the St. Louis County Police Department is investigating the incident. It's unclear what led to the fight. Police have not yet reported any arrests. But if you go down, a police spokesperson said that the department will provide an update on Monday. The Hazelwood School District released a statement following the fight and offered condolences to all involved. It is a tragedy anytime children are hurt. But it is weird to me that when the victims are white and the perpetrators are black, we completely overlook that. We're not allowed to talk about that. And the problem with this is the reason why nobody cares, and I like to bring light to this, is because when the perpetrators are black or an illegal, it just disappears from the media, Hayes, especially in the case that the victim is white. And to me, this is anti-white hatred, and it's a problem in Western countries, and people don't like us talking about it because it's a problem. And why wouldn't they want us talking about a certain problem? My only suggestion is perhaps because they like that problem, and to the wrong people, it's actually a positive thing that we're under attack. And they don't want it to stop anytime soon. Am I wrong on that, or do you have a different perspective?
No, you're 100% correct there, mate. Look, at the end of the day, they want us to feel under attack because it's the classic situation with our governments, Western society wide, where they want you under attack like this because then they've perpetrated all of these things with unfettered immigration and a lot of the other issues going on, so they can provide the solution later down the track. So it gives them more overreach, it gives them more control, and by them having more control, you're more dependent on the government, and that's the last thing someone like myself wants to see. Best solution for me is we have a lot less government. Here in Australia, our government needs the Elon Musk treatment. Come in, sack 70% of them and get back on with the job. The fact that we can't talk about these subjects in real time using the correct language is a massive issue for us. Like even something you just said there with it being anti-white, it's not so much that it's anti-white, because obviously it is, but it's just straight up racism. That's why I don't even like this term reverse racism, because there's no such thing as reverse racism. It's just racism. And it's fine for them to be able to do it. I mean, we see it everywhere in Australia. We've seen it for the last couple of months here with the desecration of the Cook statues. Now, I've copped a bit of backlash recently by referring to it as domestic terrorism, because that is what it is. It's designed to intimidate and terrorize the public at large. That's why they go out and chop down these statues. They just recently desecrated the Vietnam War Memorial with spray painting pro-Palestinian slogans, and again with the slogan of "the colony will fall." These people, they want us to take responsibility for our ancestors' actions, as you said, but they don't want us to be proud of those actions either. So it's like, well, which way do you want us to do it?
It's name and shame.
Exactly.
Well, and you know they don't care. Go to my screen, Brian. Cori Bush. Wow. You know, they make their women beautiful. That's all I can say. People got mad at me for my opinion on the actress from The Little Mermaid. And I said, all the racist vitriol. People know I was off last week. My family got doxxed. There was real valid death threats. Law enforcement got involved. There was multinational law enforcement involved. There was severe targeting, all because I don't find the actress in The Little Mermaid attractive. And what's funny with these people is all the death threats, sending rape porn to my wife, sending child pornography to people, and trying to imprint my son's face on it, all crimes in of themselves. All the illegal activity of this community will not bring that woman's eyes a centimeter closer together. So the joke's on you. But Cori Bush, who's a representative, and some might say the fact that people like this are in power, not because, you know, any other reason than she's a retard, is a sign of judgment on our own country. Now, this apparently allegedly happened in her district. And when you look up any response on Kaylee and what happened to her, they're not there. Okay. So she hasn't even made a public statement about this. And so, you know, there's a very public, they say she's in critical condition. Some people are saying she's murdered. Guys, I'm sorry. If you have better evidence in the chat, I don't actually know. And I couldn't figure it out because I'm in Australia and we have different algorithms. And so I can't find quality information. And remember, it's the same thing. I don't know what to believe. I just seen both reports. Please let me know. But, you know, she's not responding to this. And it reminds me, that's when they say a representative. It's like, I'm not here to make things about race. But whenever a black person is in office, they tend to be racist. I've noticed this. When someone is black in office, they're the most racist piece of shit human beings. That's not to say that all black people in office are, more the ones on the left that end up being racist. We have plenty of black people on the right that are not racist, but still, I notice they make their ads very racial. Like some right-wing Republican guy, it's like him like with a shotgun, his ad is like him killing these KKK members. And it's just like playing to the lowest denominator of bullshit. It's very tokeny, right? And that's why it's funny. Like PragerU has a, I think they have like one white male influencer now named Aldo Barazzoni. So like, to be almost a token on the right is to actually be a straight white male. Like, they have so many black influencers and woman black influencers and different stuff that like, I'm like shocked they hired a Catholic straight white guy, because these organizations on the right are so tokenizing the left, I mean the black and minorities and the gays, that we've lost complete sight. And when you hire people because they're black, or you elect people because they're gay, why would you be surprised that shit is fucked and you can't have it any other way?
Yeah, look, I completely disagree with tokenism. All you're doing is you're pandering to people that generally hate you anyway. So what's the point? Like, we should be, especially with media, we should be catering on the right to who our actual bases are. The people that are actually consuming our content and actually watching it. I do a lot with my own personal content. I don't worry about what the left is doing. I don't bother. I cop a lot of hate from them, yes. But at the end of the day, if they're hating me, it means I'm doing my job correctly. I worry about what my audience actually is. Predominant of my audience is white Christian males. So that's who I look to making sure I represent. Because at the end of the day, it's who I am. So... But you're right. Look, our representation in our houses of governance, be it America or here in Australia, you do see, especially with the on the left, and when they are blacks, I'll say it, when they are blacks, I mean, we've got it here in Australia with Lydia Thorpe. She's in our Senate. She's got no interest in representing anyone here in Australia except for her 3% of the population. Well, I mean, if you want to do that, then why did we waste $500 million on a goddamn referendum? At the end of the day, you're there to do a job, do it. You want to represent the Aboriginal people? Represent the Aboriginal people. And that's what she's essentially doing, but she's not doing it so that she actually represents anyone. She's doing it because at heart, she's an activist. She's not there to represent anyone. She's not there to try and get legislation put through that will benefit her people. She wants to make a name for herself. She wants to be notoriety. It's why I saw a poll on Twitter a couple of weeks ago where someone posed the question of how long should someone be allowed to sit in the Senate here in Australia? Because currently it's a 6-year term, and I believe they can have two or three of them.
I think it's the same as the US, yeah. But you guys have term limits.
Still. Yes.
We don't have those.
Yeah, so, and in my opinion, I think we need more senators like Senator Ralph Babette. One-term senators. He's openly said he's only sitting for one term so that he can get in there, risk it all, cards on the table, and get shit done.
Yeah, I think the one term is good because, okay, here's what I want to say about why I continue to bring up global issues, to remind you guys that white people are not just people from one country, right? We are people from many countries, and we have a nationality. We have an ethnic background. That doesn't mean that we don't have friends who are of different nationalities or backgrounds. It doesn't mean that people don't sometimes intermarry or change their relationship status. What it means is that to deny our ethnic identity is to deny our livelihood. It's a genocide. It is to deny our birthright. And the only reason that that is allowed is because we allow it to happen. A good example is it happens everywhere. Right here, The Guardian explains this woman here, a teenager pleads guilty to a murder of a Queensland woman, Emma Lovell, in a home invasion. Lovell died after being stabbed while her husband was treated in the hospital for a knife wound. This just happened on the 11th of March, 2024. Now, I don't know the race of this person, although I can tell you that a teenager has admitted to murdering a Queensland woman. Of course, a teenager who is now 18, who they can't release, a 17-year-old boy, right? I love how they do this, right? These are just a child. It's just a child. It's just a child. Listen, when I was 17, I could have fucked my teacher or murdered her. It wouldn't have mattered. I knew what I was doing, okay? Let's stop acting like 17-year-old boys are victims. I'm tired of this. Look, if you're 17 and you're murdering someone, you have a lot of testosterone. It makes a lot of sense, more sense if you were 17 than if you were 30, but it's still not acceptable, okay? This is not an 8-year-old that accidentally stabbed his mom with scissors, okay? This is a 17-year-old boy, a man. And also he's 18, but they got to protect him and we can't release this. Do you know anything about this? Because this is another white woman who was stabbed and murdered in Queensland here in Australia, and they're protecting the people. And it continues to be knife crime in almost every other country. The US, it's usually gun crime. And a Spaniard today was just murdered in cold blood, knifed to death. I can't even show it. It's so disgusting, by a North African immigrant. What do we know about the girl who was just murdered? This woman, we can put her on the screen just in memory of her. A beautiful woman, Caucasian woman. What do we know about this?
So I can't honestly say I've seen this story. I don't consume a lot of the mainstream just because it literally does poison your mind. And in today's day and age, it's actually designed to dumb down our population. But the simple fact that it's a 17-year-old boy who's now 18 and they're still going out of their way to protect his rights. I'm sorry, dude, you murdered a woman. You just perpetrated murder, period. We don't have capital punishment in this country. And it's crimes like this where we really need capital punishment brought back into this country, because they're just getting more and more frequent. You mentioned the Spaniard stabbing one. Now, I saw that one this morning. I put out a post on that one myself. That one is incredibly graphic. Now, there's a lot of people out there, they're trying to community note it at the moment, saying that, no, this was actually in Turkey from 2023. But it doesn't change the fact that these kind of criminal acts are happening everywhere. We've had two here in Queensland. That one would make a third. We've had two in the last few weeks over in Perth, Western Australia. I don't know about Sydney or Melbourne because, well, I try to stay out of there because they're kind of cesspools and they've got enough voices mm-hmm. down there themselves to represent them. Whereas where I'm from over in the West, we virtually have no voices over there. So I try to focus my efforts over there as much as possible. And every time they're going out of their way to protect the criminal. And this is where we as a society, we need to stop caring about the feelings of criminals, because I'm sorry, but you gave up those rights the moment you went and perpetrated these acts. It's nobody cares about your feelings, mate. Like, it's, I hate to quote Ben Shapiro, but facts don't care about your feelings. And the fact of the matter is you've taken somebody's life. The moment you've done that, you don't have the right to privacy. Everybody should know who you are. Everybody should know your face, because in most cases, there's more than enough evidence for them to be found guilty. So why are we protecting them? It's not a case of innocent until proven guilty, because a lot of the times these kids, they're caught on CCT camera or they're caught with the weapon. So how far do we go?
Yeah, they always say alleged while I watch them murder someone on the screen. Also, can we talk about this? Because I think what I get accused of a lot, okay, people are always trying to silence me, but what I get accused of is like, hey, you're harping on the same issues. And I go, buddy, I am not a brain rot TikTok fucking skibbity toilet, you know, gooning monster, right? I don't edge max. I don't mew. I don't know what the fuck any of that is. Okay. Just kidding. I do, but I mean, that's not my brain. Okay. I don't just move on. They expect you to move on. What the elites expect is that they can inundate you with so much information and they can allow you to see so much atrocity that you become numb and that you no longer react with conviction and out of sensitivity to things that are important to you. What you have to do, especially as a young man, if you're watching this, if you're a woman watching this, be very careful. Guard your heart. Talk to your husband if these things are healthy for your spirit to be inundating yourself with the tragedies of the world. I disagree that a lot of women can handle it, but some of you watch the show and I welcome you to do so if you're in agreement in your family and you enjoy it. But as young men, especially in your household, you need to definitively decide what issues matter to you. Because there's a lot of issues in the world and you only have so much bandwidth and you need to stick to those issues and not get distracted. I don't watch gore videos because that is not my intention. I was joking with my friend. He was like, yeah, I'm going to go watch Instagram. I was like, okay, cool. Go watch a family of five get crushed by a falling cement truck, you know, in between a cat video. They allow this to jack your emotions. And it's called like emotional hyperthyroidism or whatever, where they take your emotions like it's a thyroid out of hormonal control. And they allow you to shift through extreme death to extreme happiness to a sad movie or a sad reel to a happy reel. And they intentionally write the algorithm so it shifts through your emotions. So you feel an entire fluctuation of emotions. You feel like you've done something or you've lived something, but you've accomplish nothing. I kind of want to explain this other second part to it before we jump into this. Is the next section is that's why motivational TikToks and reels are so popular, because they give you the feeling like you've changed something in your life and that you've accomplished something and you've learned something, except you're still just shitting on the toilet holding your phone and you just ate McDonald's for dinner. So you haven't changed anything. And they've designed us to make us feel like we're doing something when we've done nothing. And so you have to really be cautious against the algorithms. You've got to be cautious against what they're putting before you. And you've got to decide, what do you care about? And what got me into this is what still keeps me into it, is I saw the persecution of white people back in 2009, 2010 in my high school. I actually goes back 2008, 2007 even. But 2007, I saw the persecution. I saw the anti-white rhetoric on the rise. It made me impassioned. It made me emboldened. And I saw the slow, steady decline towards communism. And it has not changed. Now I've gotten deeper red-pilled. Now I know who owned the slave ships. I know who's introducing the communism. I know who's controlling the money. But even then, I'm sure there's deeper ways to go. But if you get distracted and think you have to change what you're into because people have moved on, fuck those people. Don't move on. Keep hitting the nail on the head. It's going to bother them even more. And you know that firsthand, right? If you harp on these things like the pandemic, the Australian government wants you to shut up because they want you to forget and move on.
Oh, they want you to memory hole it. They want you to forget all the injuries. They want you to forget all the near misses with death. I mean, I was one of them. And
yeah, tell me. By the way, I want to get into that, because they want you to memory hole it. But you know, they're telling you, hey, stop talking about what we did. Everyone knows, by the way, in America, that the Australian government literally committed crimes against their own people in the pandemic, like some of the most severe human rights abuses. What happened to you?
Through my work, it was mandated that we had to get the vaccines. Now, at the time, I was sleepwalking through life, like so many of us out there are. And I just went along, yep, cool, got me first jab. Yeah, all right, made me a little bit crook, didn't really like it, but I got to keep my job. I was funding free households at the time. So we went along, got my second jab 6 weeks later. 6 hours later, I was being rushed to Midland Hospital, one of my local hospital over in Perth, and I was having a heart attack. I was 35 years old and I'd never had heart issues prior. And I spent 3 days laying in a hospital bed, almost dying. It was my awakening point. It was when I realized that everything around me was fake and gay, and that it was time for me to stand up and start doing something about it. I've got a wife. I've got two young daughters. I lay there thinking to myself, what have I left to them? What legacy have I left behind? What is the lasting thing that they will be going on to tell their grandchildren about? Well, my father was XYZ. And I looked at my life and I had nothing. I was doing exactly what they wanted to do. I was consuming copious amounts of porn. I was taking drugs. I was drinking all the time. I was wasting my life playing video games. And it was just like, I've literally accumulated and done nothing with my life. Since that point, I've been hell-bent on going forward, spreading the word, because it was where I came back to getting close with God again. That was where I started picking up the Bible, getting close with his word again. I'm not going to preach to you. But it's one of those vital things that without, we are lost, especially as the Western civilization, because I don't give a shit what anyone says. Christianity built the West. Without Christianity, Western civilization doesn't exist. Australia doesn't exist. They love to tell me, oh, Australia is a secular nation. It's literally in the preamble of our constitution. We humbly rely upon the blessings of Almighty God. And everything just accumulated at once for me. My daughters were struggling with gender ideology, being rammed down their throats in our leftist captured institutions. And it was where I snapped. But I focused that energy into something profitable and something that will eventually go on to leave a legacy, not just for myself, but for my grandchildren. Because my daughters are at that age now where they're going to be looking at starting a family in the next 5 to 10 years. So I want them to be able to turn to their children and say, your grandfather wasn't just a good man, he was a great man.
You know what? And I want to talk about that because I think the legacy that we leave is so important. We were talking before the show started. If you cheated death, if you're still on this earth, it's because God has a plan and a purpose. And there's an absolute ability to change your life even today. People want to know how you can change your life. Change it right now. Just don't go masturbate, you know, before you go to bed. You know what I mean? You'll feel better in the morning. And if you do masturbate, whatever. Move on and then, you know, don't beat yourself up, but then try again tomorrow. Little things in the moment, taking control of that is very important. And we're going to be talking about that as well as I want to talk about the wokeness. The Oscars was last night, and there is some stuff to talk about it. I think it is interesting. I don't agree with Elon Musk. We should ignore it entirely. I think looking at the Kabbalistic rituals of our enemies is actually quite fascinating. And I think there's a lot we can break down. Before we jump into that, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor for today, Purge Store. Guys, many of you guys know the absolute reality. Death starts in the colon. In fact, it actually starts in your intestines. You have a gut microbiome. You have an ability to control your entire mood. Me and my wife were talking about how it's so important to clean our guts out and how it's important to do a cleanse. Have you been wanting to do a cleanse? Well, a lot of people who are tested find out that they have parasites in them. This is actually really true, and it's more common than you think. In fact, a huge portion of the mass of your body is other organisms. Most of them are good. But the FDA always says, well, food is healthy for the human body, but is it healthy for your microbiome? Is it healthy for your parasites? Luckily, there's a bunch of natural ways that you can get rid of parasites in your body, and our friends at thepurgestore.com have actually put it all into an easy-to-take capsule. Some of you guys have taken this and told me that it literally cleared your bloating, your gut issues, your mood issues. And guys, this isn't pseudoscience. This is not like, hey, you take iodine and you're going to be cured from cancer. That's not what this is. It's saying that some cancers are caused by infections. These can help clear those infections before cancer happens. It's very basic science. It's very easily testable. And I don't really see how if you go through this cleanse, you would feel any worse. I only think you guys could feel better because if you need a cleanse, go to purgestore.com. Use my promo code Elijah for 10% off. It is extremely important you check this out. And I warn you though, if you want to live with parasites in your body for the rest of your life, don't go look this up because it's rather freaking disgusting, the parasites that are in a lot of our bodies. So clean them out today with natural ingredients only at purgestore.com. Promo code Elijah, P-U-R-G-E-S-T-O-R-E.com. Promo code E-L-I-J-A-H for 10% off. Tell them that I sent you. All right. We need to talk about this. Let's talk about the Oscars here. This is a contention. The Oscars happened the other night. And Mike is just putting in crazy stuff. So the Oscars happened. John Cena, who is somewhat of a masculine icon. I mean, I guess you would say you're at WWE. This guy is... I watched this video three times. I still see nobody in it. But apparently he did this. It's not graphic. Go to my screen, Brian. He came on screen with a something. I didn't actually watch the video fully, but check this out.
They are so important. Maybe the most important thing there is.
Okay, so let's just discuss something. This was for apparently, I guess, the costume category. I'm reading my notes here. Best costume. The Oscars is the quintessential award show. It is the apex of artistic venture, or it should have been, right? Traditionally. I'm from Los Angeles. People don't know this. I used to work in Hollywood. I've been to pre-Oscars parties. I've helped out, worked at the Oscars before, whatever. I'm still waiting for my Oscar. However, people are saying that this was a humiliation ritual, that John Cena is meant to be humiliated because obviously it is humiliating walking out naked in front of a crowd. It's literally a nightmare. Do you think there's any weight to that? Or is that just like the weird side of Twitter that makes everything deeper than it is? Or do you think John Cena really had to do an embarrassing ritual? Or like, what do you think is going on?
Look, I think it's a little bit 50-50, to be honest. Let's be honest. Conspiracy Twitter can go down some seriously weird rabbit holes at times. But I think there is a bit of weight to this one. We've seen it a lot over the years where our celebrities that go into Hollywood, one moment they're based, they're masculine, they're out there doing what real men do. And then a couple of years later, everything's sort of switched. They're a bit effeminate. They're promoting ideologies that the majority of people that got them to that point don't agree with. And the moment that they won't follow the woke line that Hollywood wants you following, they kick you out. I mean, you have a look at some of the stuff that they did to Mel Gibson, a great Australian there in himself. And I mean, he's always been fairly based, in my opinion. And because he wouldn't toe the line, I mean, when was the last time you saw him get work? We saw it with Cavill. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
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 With Passions of the Christ. Like, that was one of the biggest movies of all time, and one of the most based movies of all time, as far as I'm concerned. And nobody in Hollywood will touch him. The only ones that are touching him currently are Angel Studios, and they're doing some bang up work. I saw you put out the posts this morning on their new movie. That looks amazing. I'm actually looking forward to going and taking my daughters to see that. Look, Hollywood's always been a little bit weird. I've always tried to sort of avoid, especially the Hollywood award shows, because they're always a giant circle jerk. It's just the elite patting each other on the back and then going off and sacrificing babies in the woods. I mean, it's just, it's not the kind of thing for me, but it is something we need to keep an eye on. Because if we don't know what our enemy is doing, we can't possibly hope to defeat them.
Well, like, and this is where I almost actually begin to hate the anti-woke crowd. I have a really interesting developing perspective on the woke stuff. I think a lot of the woke stuff is intentionally distracting, and I kind of judge what's actually going to change our culture by what, like, the Daily Wire won't talk about. Because if any of these major players, like, I mean, you're talking about Megyn Kelly, very talented woman, is more than willing to talk about something without a question, then it's probably not effectively really that big of a deal. Because the things that you can talk about are not where the fight is. And I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. It's just that, you know, if Benny Johnson can get on and talk about transgenders and woke, then is that really where the fight's at? Because you should be able to be punished. What's actually effective is what we cannot present on the internet. Now, I love Benny, good friend of mine. I'm not saying this. I'm saying I wonder what it is that's really the issue, is all I'm talking about. And I'm wondering it, and I'm throwing myself under the bus with everyone. Maybe we've all been duped, because maybe they've set these conversations up for us. So they have us arguing about transgenders when it's just like a bunch of mentally ill people. If they were emo in the 90s, goth in the 2000s, like, it doesn't, punk in the 80s, now they're just trans retards. So, and they're killing themselves. So for lack of better words, sweeping their own dust. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's true. So is it really that big of a deal? Is there always going to be like 6 to 10% of the population that are fecklessly retarded and hopelessly, you know, deposed to some sort of depravity? Probably. And it could probably change from generation to generation, but it's like, why don't we talk about something bigger? Like, why AI PAC has so much influence in American politics? No. Don't talk about that. That's not okay. You know, and like, they'll do the same thing, right? Like, I notice what's weird is I don't even like talking about this topic, but I'll notice that, you know, like Ben Shapiro will say, like, why do you care about talking about the USS Liberty? It happened long ago. Move on. But he'll talk about the Holocaust all the time. Which is an event that also happened a long time ago. So it's just interesting to me that I see, like, okay, well, we can't talk about that stuff. So that's for sure important. Nobody's talking about the national debt in any of our countries. That's extremely important. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's talking about the inflationary standard of, like, compound interest. And then you hear Charlie Kirk talk about how compound interest is great. And you're going, I don't know about these people. Like, I like them as friends. I know about them. I've spoken on stages with them. We used to work together. Probably not anymore. But maybe, like, arguing about the Oscars, either watch it or don't. But, like, perhaps we should ask ourselves, like, is the story of Oppenheimer even real? I don't think so. I don't even believe it's a real story. I think that the CIA runs Hollywood to make us think that America has these great stories, but they're all lies. So do I really care that the movie, it won an award? No, because I think it's a fictitious story, personally. That's kind of where I'm at. It's like maybe asking yourself the question of who gives a fuck about the Academy Awards, ask who controls Hollywood?
Well, yeah, that's just it. Who does control a lot of these institutions? We've got Hollywood. We've got our banking institutions. We've got the WEF. There's a lot of institutions out there that are owned by a certain demographic of people, and we just don't seem to be allowed to have those conversations. Meanwhile, they're shoving gender ideology down our throats. Now, don't get me wrong. As someone that literally almost had their daughters taken by this ideology, I understand that it is an important thing we do need to be talking about, but it doesn't need to be everybody's main focus. I mean, you look at some of the stuff we've got going on in Australia here with the Mis and Disinformation Bill, digital IDs coming in. Like, if some of these things get through and they come in this country, someone like myself, I'm going to be literally kicked off the internet. If I'm not kicked off the internet, I'm going to be facing 10 years in jail. Yeah, you have a look at the new anti-Semitic, anti-Nazi laws we've just brought in here in Australia. They're absolutely ridiculous. The extremist right-wing propaganda. What exactly is extremist right-wing propaganda? There are people online that call me an extremist right-wing. I get called a white supremacist neo-Nazi on a daily basis. Yet I've never said anything that you could possibly try and actually give me that label for. Once those laws go into effect properly and they start using them in conjunction with the Mis and Disinformation Bill, I'm looking at 5 years in jail just for having an original idea or an original thought that isn't spoon-fed to me or force-fed to me by the mainstream.
Does that scare you, by the way? Because I want people to know this. It's actually really bad over here. Like, really bad. Like, I think I have to leave. Like, I'm not joking.
No.
Like, I'm pretty sure I need to leave. It's getting very precarious for people like myself. I already have trouble here. I'm just going to say, it's holding what are considered normal right-wing views in America here is borderline criminal activity in Australia.
Yeah, look, the way I look at it is I'm not scared for myself personally. Again, I'm a Christian. I'm quite happy to go down a martyr. Like, if I get arrested and thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, having the thoughts or saying the things I do, the majority of the stuff I've got to say is based in biblical law. Like, nothing that I've ever had to say, even though the left loves to try and use scripture against me, it's forever taken out of context. They forever leave major parts of the verses out. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm no theologian. I don't know the gospels front to back sort of thing. I still make mistakes. There's a lot more I could be doing in that regard. But I know the way I live my life, the things I think, the way I view the world, if I were to die tomorrow and have my Jesus interview, I'm pretty happy and safe to say that I'd be getting inside the pearly gates. But that's just the thing. Like, they, it's not so much me that I fear for, it's my family. Because once they take me out of that equation, what does it leave for my family? They lose their primary breadwinner. They lose their leadership. And that's the bit that scares me. And that's the bit that they're banking on, where we will sit back and go, all right, cool, I'm out of the game. I got to worry about my family. I got to do this. Whereas from my point of view, like, yes, that's in the back of my mind always. For me, it's about, because my family's predominantly female. I don't have any sons, unfortunately. Wife and I are, God willing, working on that though. So the way I see it is I want my daughters in particular to know the kind of man that they want to go out and marry, that they want to go out and have in their lives. So I lead from the front. I do everything by the seat of my pants. Like, we're comfortable, but we're not elites by any measure. So it's about making sure that when they can look back at it, they can say, well, I'm proud of what my dad did. Even though he got punished for what he did the right thing. He stood by his morals and paid the price for them, unfortunately, like my forefathers did when they went off to war.
Right. Well, it is rather precarious. That's all I'm going to say is how quickly things can change. Now, a project I'm working on right now for the Gateway Pundit. By the way, guys, they just expanded my show there, and it's expanding again. I'm now going to be doing a new show that I won't give. Not some new show. I decided I don't need any more shows, but I'm going to be doing a new project with them, which is responding to breaking news and bringing context with guests and stuff that's going to be released on X. So things are doing really well over there. In fact, a lot better than they're doing here. We're doing great here. It's just that this is more of my passion project. This is what I love, you guys. This is slightly offensive. This is the most censored show that I've ever had to work on. I mean, they just recently deleted about 7 of our videos on YouTube. We come back, our views halved again upon. They do this about every 4 months in the last year and a half, is they delete a bunch of videos, suspend our channel, we come back and the views are half of what they are and half of what they are. And it goes from 100,000 to 50,000 to 25,000 to 10,000 to 7,000. And it just goes down. And the possibility of getting 7,000 views with that many subscribers is insane. Considering the fact that I can release a clip on a clip channel I have with 5,000 subscribers, and we get more views on that than we do on a channel with over 550,000. It's okay. It's YouTube, which is why I remind you guys to subscribe to Censored. When you subscribe to Censored and you get the promo code, you get this show. It's uploaded after the fact. Plus, today we're going to be doing something new. We're going to be doing an after party. So the show's going to continue. Then we're going to spend another 20 minutes or so just shooting the shit about some stuff. That'll be live only on Censored, which is really great. And then you can rewatch that only on Censored. So there's going to be a new segment at the end of the show only on Censored TV. Especially, that's going to be a great time. If you don't have money for Super Chats, but you want to regularly ask questions in the chat and interact and stuff like that, then that's a way that's easy. It's like, what? $12 a month and you could just ask questions, you know, that's a pretty good deal. That's all I got to say. Because we don't just get the big guests. We get smaller guests. We get medium-sized guests. We get guests you don't know. Some guests are politicians. We've always been big on platforming people that need to be platformed, not people who just like drive viewership because sometimes they don't have good ideas. Honestly, that's the truth. However, I do want to get into something very important here about the Oscars that I wanted to bring up is that Robert Downey Jr., is this a win or not? Apparently he won an Oscar. Go to my screen. And I know Robert Downey Jr., you know, as much as people say he's a prick and stuff like that, and there's no really reason to care about him, he has a pretty good success story of somebody who was on drugs and, you know, messed up his own life with his own poor choices, sort of got kicked out of the club and built his life back up from the ashes. I don't know anything about him. He could be a child molester. I have no idea. I don't know. But I do know the fact that he's one of the boys that built himself back up from a place of addiction. So is that a win? Like, just can we not? That's what I was going to say. In our fight to be against the woke, can we also not just like celebrate, like be like, oh, that's pretty cool. Somebody was able to rebuild their life. Or am I wrong? Is this guy just a degenerate? And it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know, right? I don't know what to think about that.
Yeah, look, again, I think it's a bit 50-50. You don't really know what he's like behind the scenes, but the fact that he could overcome such insurmountable odds, like the amount of drugs that man was on, like I'm dead set surprised he's not dead already. But to come back, rebuild everything he had, obviously the studios took a big chance with him as Iron Man. And, I mean, I was sort of in that age bracket that when Iron Man came out, it was the coolest thing to happen. And look, it skyrocketed him to success. So, like, kudos to him. What did he actually win the Oscar for?
I didn't watch it. I just know that he won an Oscar. And my producer was asking me, is that a win? And I just go, I don't know. I mean, and I think that's where the perspective is, guys. Like, there's nothing more stupid than thinking that getting Republicans into office is going to change the country, or getting, you know, the some sort of one nation or different people here in Australia is going to change the country. If you're still addicted to things and you're not working on your own life, no politician's going to change you. So, and I'm preaching to the choir, meaning I know we all know this, but like, seriously, if you're not taking care of your body, if you're not losing weight, if you're not reaching your goals, that's where 95% of your focus should be, because you can do more with your time. I'm telling you, you don't even have enough energy in the world to fight the demons that are in political power. You don't even have enough time in the world to fight 1% of the evil that's up against you. But if you spend most of your time focused on God, and by that strength of God, you focus on your personal life and your family, that time you have left over to focus on your passion, your pursuit, is going to go 100 times further than all of your time put into your passion without God. Because it's like, he's the one who energizes you, and reaching your goals gives you superpowers. They want you sick, gay, retarded, and ineffective and fat. And so when you fight that, then you actually end up in a place of strength. And you're like, well, I don't mind fighting being gay and retarded. I am retarded. I'm not gay. Well, here's the point, is your testosterone levels are being attacked by the food that you eat. So you might not be having sex with men. Maybe you are, but maybe you're not. Probably not. But you're still more gay than a gay man was 50 years ago. He's probably more masculine than you today. Think about that. I'm just saying, because your T levels are so low, so your drive is down. It's scary shit, but it's real. So it's like, we got to fight against that evil. I got to make sure my son's testosterone isn't depleted by the time he's 15, you know? So fight there in the family and your personal life. That's why when it came to this award, I'm going, you know, rather than just getting mad, oh, it's an actor and it's woke, it's like, maybe that's actually cool. You know, it's cool if a guy could kind of rebuild his life. Maybe he's a rich dick, but, you know, maybe I would be too if I was that rich. I don't know.
Yeah, no, look, I think you actually frame it a really interesting perspective there. I'm surprised now that you framed it like that, that they've actually allowed Robert Downey Jr. to be as successful as he is, because that's one of the big things we're missing in the world today is positivity. And he really does have that positive comeback story that so many of us should be striving for, because you're right. I mean, I was like it myself. We're bogged down. We're taking drugs. We're drinking copious amounts of alcohol. We're giving in to the seven deadly sins on a daily basis. Gluttony, sloth, lust. And that's what they want you doing, and that's what they want you focused on. It's why I say to a lot of the young guys I interact with, like, you need to get past that stuff. Like, you need to get off the porn. You need to get away from the drugs. You do need to start working on yourself. Like, again, I'm still working on myself. I got a bit of pudge going on around here in the middle, and my main goal is getting rid of that right now. It's at the end of the day, we've all got work to do. And as long as we focus on that and we focus on the positives, it's one of the things I like from the feedback I get from my content, because I try not to be a massive, for lack of a better term, a Debbie Downer when I'm putting out content. I like to put out something positive. It was why January was such a successful month for me with the Australia Month campaign that I ran alongside the Dusty Bogan and John Lawson from the National Observer, along with a few other bigger names that came on board with us. And it was the one bit of feedback I kept getting back from people was, oh, we're so glad to see something positive for once, instead of everything being all doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need more of in this world, is more positivity.
Yeah. And before we jump into that, we're going to talk about a little bit about something positive, what's going on in Haiti and what that teaches us. Very positive stuff. Before we jump into that, I want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors for today, which is UnderTack Boxers, and now doing outerwear. You've got to check it out at undertack.com. If you use my promo code offensive20, you get 20% off the entire store. So not only do I recommend the UnderTack Infantry Boxer Briefs that have the perfect elastic waistband, they don't ride up, they wick away moisture, they don't get peely. They're just fantastic. I actually flew with them across the country, just ordered two more pairs, had them delivered to my house. Absolutely amazing. On the last episodes, you've seen me wearing the shirts themselves. They fit so nice. I do recommend if you buy their clothes that you buy one size down. I usually wear an XL, but I bought a large because they're like a little bit like they fit nice, and they should be a little snug because they're more like muscle tees or whatnot. Like, these are like two XLs or whatever. I'll usually wear a slightly bigger t-shirt, especially on the show, because we don't want to give a gun show. But here you can see they fit nice and snug, so you should probably buy a larger for an XL. They have socks and so much more. They're also made with Modal, which is like cotton on steroids, so it's extra breathable, and that's apparently why they last so long. Their battle force is tested. And guys, honestly, I heard Fleckas was selling these as well, and he was like offering used pairs to people or something. That's sick shit. I have no idea. I gotta call that guy and preach Christ to him. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what he's doing to sell them, but I'm just telling you, I will. Part of my selling pattern is I will not send you used pairs. No one wants to touch those, but you will want to try your own. So check them out at undertack.com. They're so freaking comfortable. Once you buy a pair or a spare or both, you end up buying a ton more. So they just end up, you know, buying a lot. And again, the outerwear is amazing. Use my promo code offensive20 at undertack.com, UNDERTAC.com, promo code offensive20. Check them out today. If you've been waiting, now's the time to pull the trigger. So I want to switch the topic here to Haiti. So I really like blaming white people for the world's problems. It's one of my favorite things on the show, right? Everyone knows on this show, particularly, what we're most sensitive about is comments about my voice, and we're most passionate about defending black people and attacking whites. We just love it. We want to make sure white people learn justice. Dom Lucrate, who actually is a friend of mine, posted this up. He said, breaking exclusive, Haiti gang leader Jimmy Chirizai, aka Barbecue, who's a gang member known as Barbecue, said if Haiti Ariel Henry doesn't resign, Haiti will have a genocide. Barbecue went on to say that the prime minister insists on staying in power. They can all expect a civil war against Ariel and the international community. Barbecue went to call out the United States, Canada, and Africa. And he translated the video as best he could. Let's go ahead and let's watch this video. Just to let you guys know, Haiti has descended into chaos. And if we're saying the phrase Haiti descended into chaos and you knew what Haiti was like recently, chaos does not mean what you're thinking. It means literal anarchy, death, genocide potential. We're talking about Rwanda, but 10 times worse. Check this out.
Ever see the journey begins with a single step. The path is long, but worth the effort. The effort is worth the destination. It's not about holding. If Arianui makes these international communities resign, continue to support Arianui. The nice Estelian, the fire of youth, such beautiful chaos. Remember the land of our dreams. International communities, especially the United States, Canada, Africa, the pro-government ones, there's pretty much a whole peasant chapter. Thank you. Whether from the mountain or the valley, from the mountain or the valley, it's all the same. Whether by chance or by a decisive moment. Just see your last and recover completely your ATI. Ever see.
What do you think about that? Go to him full screen, by the way. Go to Hayes full screen. That's when I get your attention.
That's That's some intense shit. I mean, look, they love to call me a domestic terrorist at this point. And like, you see people like that in a country that we actually sent the military to not that long, probably about a decade back, as peacekeepers. And now you see what it's descended into with a man named Barbecue. Now, that in itself raises some question. I'm going to assume, knowing what I know about Haiti, he's used to literally barbecuing people. So, and to sit there and declare civil war on his own government, things are gonna get pretty extreme over there. And it's, when you see footage like that, you have to ask the question of, why are we letting these kinds of people into other nations as well? Because we've got a lot of Haitians that make it into places like America. I'm pretty sure I remember seeing not that long ago about a big group of them that was intercepted at the southern border there. And it's like, I mean, he's declaring not just war on his own government in that speech, but he's essentially declaring war on America, Canada, Africa. So what happens when these kind of people start making it into our country and start bringing those issues here?
Well,
it's kind of scary.
And I think what's crazy about this is there's no way to blame white people. This is like one of the main all black communities inside of Latin America. And, you know, I want to remind you, by the way, there's some guy, my producer's telling me in the chat, go here real fast, guys. If you want to have fun at all, he'll really enjoy it. Go to my screen. I found him on Twitter. His name's Pastor Ben, Benjamin P. Dixon. He's an anti-fascist, which is really, we really support that. We love Antifa here. He's also into Christian national. He said Christian nationalism is the religion of white supremacy. So that's really good. And Jesus was woke, which of course we agree with. Jesus might have had blue hair. He's also got a lot of followers, which is great. And kind of based the case against Benjamin Netanyahu on a real note. That's actually pretty cool. But he's in the chat and he's really obsessed with my voice. I told you guys he gave me bottom surgery back in high school. We used to kiss. One time he gave me a blowjob. But he's saying I'm gay. And it's like, well, yeah, dude, you sucked my dick. It's kind of gay. But I've repented. But Pastor Ben has not. So he's living in sin. So make sure that you send Pastor Ben some love. Always be kind to him. Always be nice. But Pastor P.D. Dixon, I wonder if he's in Portland, but I wonder, because that's like sounds like the Portland area. But he's a really good guy. He's got a big following, and he's in the chat. And we welcome people like that into our chat. We welcome them, and we appreciate you, Benjamin Dixon. Again, he's got the word dicks in his name, and that's what he was always interested in on me when we were there. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him because he's really enjoying the chat. And we like to give a shout out to our people that really are our biggest fans, right? So speaking of the people like Pastor Benjamin Dixon, let's talk about Haiti. So apparently they're eating people, the gangs, and people are trying to downplay it. But as someone said, as the media is downplaying the cannibalism that's there, they literally have the gang leader, go to my screen, his name is Barbecue. So it's like there's a guy that goes by Barbecue that they're claiming they're eating people. Haiti is such a shithole that Trump even called it out and said that Haiti is a shithole. Do you remember when all the liberals were defending Haiti and saying that he was rude? I remember that everyone was saying he was racist for saying that. Look, the reason why black communities, it's okay to call them shitholes, is because the leaders of BLM, the first thing they did with the money that they scammed from their own community, this should be a shame on the black community. Your own people, including, by the way, your own politicians, the first thing they do is buy houses that are in predominantly white areas. They leave the black community. Do you know what's the problem in the black communities? The dollar doesn't even stay in black communities. It's the shortest lived dollar cycle. You guys don't even want to spend your money in your own communities. So you get busy getting mad about white people this, white people that. Oh, white people, white people. Hey, you know who's killing black people? Other black people. And you know what I mean? Do you know who's ruining your communities? Your own people. Do you know who's not supporting your communities? Your own leaders. So before you get mad at white people, remember you're being betrayed by your own black people who are concerned about getting out of your own neighborhoods. And why don't they want to be a part of your community? Why do they grift off your community? Why are all black leaders grifters who grift off the black community to get out of it? That should answer the question. You have internal problems and you've got to solve them and figure them out, because if you don't figure them out, then you're just going to keep getting taken a fool, getting robbed by your own people who want to get out. It's sad to me, though, as somebody who's a big supporter of the black community, who loves the black community so much so that I've gone to film in them before and exposed them destroying their own communities just so I could help them out a little bit. You're welcome to the black community as a black icon. I am a black icon in the black community. You're welcome.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there with, I mean, the first thing they do is they move out of these communities. I mean, we see the same thing here in Australia. How many of these rich, successful Aboriginals here in Australia live out on country? They don't, because they want to get out of those places. They want to get away from their own community, because 9 times out of 10, it's their own communities that want to drag them down as well. And they feed off greed. That's what I've found it is with a lot of these types of people. They feed off greed. All they want to do is line their own pockets and benefit themselves. I mean, if it was genuinely about their own communities, they would be staying in their own communities and making their own communities better. I mean, I've seen the stories of drug dealers from Harlem. Like, they stay in their community, and while they're out there, they're doing illegal things to make their money, sure, but they stay there and they at least try to make their community somewhat better. So, I mean, you look at stories like that and you've got to ask yourself, who's actually the bad guy here? And I mean, I know that's, not necessarily the best way to look at the situation, but I mean, if you've got so-called criminals that are doing more for their communities, then you've got actual politicians or people that are meant to be representing them. Like you bang on with the Black Lives Matter. I mean, they made, what, $22 million or something like that?
Reported.
And they moved straight to Beverly Hills. Like, I mean...
Dude, literally, that's where they go, oh, what are you saying about the black community? Hey, once a black person gets money, they leave your community. They don't build homes there. They don't live there. They don't want to be around you guys. So I don't even need to make a comment about it. White people don't leave white neighborhoods when they get rich. They move to Indian neighborhoods. No, I'm just kidding. But but I'm saying they don't, right? We don't leave white countries when we get rich. Black people leave their countries. And that should be an answer. And if you don't care about that as a black person, if that doesn't bother you, then you're a fucking idiot. You're just a loser because you want to get mad. You know what you should be mad at? Your own black people and maybe the Zionists who have literally... The reason why I don't really spend a lot of time getting mad at black culture is because Zionists basically created modern black culture through the rap music, from everything that they do. And they've baited them into caring about celebrities and rap artists rather than crime rates, drug epidemics, right? While the CIA plants crack in their neighborhoods. They literally could be on my side. They could become right-wing. You should become, black people should join me in my fight as a right-wing super nationalist to fight against the three-letter agencies who have ravaged their communities, who keep the borders open, who bring illegals into their neighborhoods, price them out of their own neighborhoods. And what do they get mad at? Gentrification. What do they get mad at if the whites leave? White flight. And then they come back, then it's gentrification. Then they leave, then it's white flight. Make up your damn mind. How about you should be mad the fact that you can't afford a home in LA, poor black person, because they have 8 illegals paying cash in an apartment next door to you, and now there's 16 living in partitions in the same apartment. So of course you can't compete with cash from 16 people in a 2-bedroom apartment because you're just a poor black. And so, yeah, they hate black people. The government hates you guys, and you could join the fight and fight against them. But what does the black community do? No, they pander to the government, and they continue to say, well, we're going to fight for this. We're anti-fascist. All right, fuck you, you dumb fucking bitch. Do what you want. You ruin your own communities. It doesn't actually affect me. I just don't live there. But if you want to actually affect change, you don't want to be like Haiti, maybe you should listen to the people who have histories, family histories of building things, and not people who just complain about things. We actually build networks and shows and lives and a future, right? So I want to talk about more of this, but we're going to go over to Rumble only. So if you're watching right now on YouTube, if you're watching right now on X, we're going live only at Censored TV. So make sure if you're watching it censored, you can continue to watch there. Censored TV, promo code offensive. And also go to my screen here. You can hit here on Rumble. This is right here. You can join the chat. Absolutely fantastic. So if you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you hit the link. I should be putting it into a chat right now. Would be fantastic. There you go. So go to the chat. Go into Rumble. We're inviting the Benjamin Dixon Show over too. Let me go to HeroFast. The Benjamin Dixon Show. You're welcome to come. He cares more about our chat than he does about his own neighborhood. They always say that, like, your voice is high. Hey, your communities are fucked up. They're like, oh, you guys don't season your food. Stop killing each other. There's always going to be a greater burn the other way. So you should watch yourself, because also you seem to be obese yourself, sir. But we love a little fun in the chat, so enjoy it. But please remember, if you want to talk about smacking lips right now in the chat, Dixon, we can talk about that. Look in the mirror. But if you want to go over to the chat and you want to have a good talk, if you tell me don't be spitting into my mic, yeah, well, it's better to be spitting into my mic than spitting into my own street. So, you guys got a lot of shit to work on in your community. You have a lot of problems that you're not helping, and you better work on that. Join me over at Rumble. We'll take a 2.5-minute break. We'll see you guys there at rumblecensored.tv. Shout out to my sponsors for today. If you're watching on YouTube, which of course is the American Hartford Gold, where you can invest in your future, get your gold and silver investments today, as well as you can check out purgestore.com, where you can get your gut cleanse to help remove parasites, and they're real. Trust me, it's not a joke. And also check out Undertack Boxers at undertack.com, promo code offensive20. You've got to check it out. All right, we're taking a break, and we'll see you over on Censored and on Rumble. Shout out to the locals chat as well. You can find the private censor-free chat there below. We'll see you in a minute. All right, we're back. My name's Elijah Schaefer, and we are live on censored.tv, promo code offensive, 20% off. Join the community because it's so important, as well as with my guests from Hayes Media Group. We're back in the studio. Are you feeling good for part two here?
Yes, mate. Yes, on fire.
All right. People do not realize, by the way, because you go live, you do a lot of stuff. How do you do in long format, like multiple hours long shows? How do you do on that?
Honestly, since quitting the gaming streaming, I haven't really done any long form sort of stuff. Obviously, gaming streaming is a bit different to sort of political podcast, this sort of format. It's more about audience engagement, which is something I was always really good at, in keeping my audience engaged, making sure that everyone felt welcome when they came in. Well, certain demographics excluded, because towards the end of my time, I'd started coming into my faith and everything again. I sort of started waking up to what was actually out there. So there were certain things that, like, pronoun people would come in and I'd just be like, yeah, no, we don't play that shit here, brother. Mm-hmm. And but I always sort of enjoyed it. I do want to look at getting back to it. Just before coming over here to Queensland, we spent a couple of grand in upgrading some gear for studio stuff. So I'm going to be completely rebuilding my studio when we get back to WA. And yeah, I'd like to start bringing a bit more of this back.
Heck yeah, dude. Well, I'm very happy to have you here. And we were talking about Haiti. And I want to talk a little bit about switching this, though. We are talking about the idea of how things started and reminding you why liberals are fucking stupid and their opinions don't matter. Example 201. Check this out. I want to play this video in its entirety.
The president tonight apparently uncorking another astonishing statement, complaining to lawmakers in the Oval Office about protections for immigrants. Why do we want these people from, quote, all these shithole countries here? According to a Democratic aide familiar with the conversation, Mr. Trump was referring to African nations and Haiti, before suggesting the U.S. should have more people from places like Norway, whose prime minister he met yesterday. A White House spokesman tonight not denying the president's words, but saying certain Washington politicians choose to fight for foreign countries, but President Trump will always fight for the American people.
The commander-in-chief, in an Oval Office meeting, referring to people from African countries and Haitians with the most vile and vulgar language. That language festers. When ignorance and bigotry is allied with power, it is a dangerous force in our country.
Trump reportedly said, why are we having all these people from whole countries come here? Wow. Sir, they're not whole countries.
Haiti is currently in the grips of a violent political crisis. Gangs have laid siege to the country's capital, now controlling an estimated 80% of Port-au-Prince. They're threatening civil war if Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry doesn't resign. Schools and businesses have closed amid heavy gunfire, and Canada's embassy has reportedly been shut down.
Yeah. I think that was always the virtue signaling. And I think we ought to talk about this as we go into the election. They talk to us like we are stupid. Oh, you said Haiti is a shithole? Yes, because it is. Stop acting like it isn't. It's not mean to tell the truth. Why do you act like I'm a bad person for saying it like it is? It's not wrong to say that a shithole country looks like a shithole. And they go, huh, so you're saying it's not a great place? Point example, how many years was it? Just maybe 4 years and the country is completely in anarchy and chaos. I think we were right. Once again, Trump was right. Point on the board.
Yeah, look, the Trump was right jar is almost as full as the Alex Jones was right jar. Yeah, look, if you're burning tires in the streets of your capital, you don't get to say you've got a great country. We all know these countries are shitholes. We see these white virtue signaling elites and celebrities going to Haiti saying Haiti's already great. Yet, mate, you're inside a gated holiday resort that keep the rest of the country out. Of course it's beautiful there. Go down Main Street of the capital city. It ain't that great. If their countries weren't shitholes, why are they mass immigrating to our countries? Like, you have to ask yourself these questions. Like, again, the entire of Trump's administration. Now, I'm not I don't idolize Trump, but I think he did a bang up job. Like, not just for you guys in America, but for the world. Like,
I agree.
The only modern president, to my understanding, that didn't start any new wars. Like, I mean, that in itself is a big deal. Like, everything he did was on behalf of the American people. It wasn't trying to cater to some other country's interests or the elites, or as he often put it, the swamp in DC. It was about advocating for the American people. And we need more politicians like that in this world. I genuinely hope 2025 is the year of Trump and we see him come back into power, because it's going to literally flip everything on its head. Hopefully we see mass deportations from the US again, because, like, you guys are getting swarmed by people from shithole countries at the moment. And if you don't do something about it shortly, you guys are going to become a third world shithole as well. So as we say here in Australia, if you want to import the third world, you will get the third world.
Well, and it's pretty remarkable too, realistically speaking. You know, I get blown away by the fact, someone even said in the chat, like, I miss the old Elijah. And I go, I don't miss the old me, because the old me was what was needed inside of an era where me was needed. But I am in a different era now. There's, you know what the competition is right now for media? Do you know how difficult things are? I'm not going to get into it, but I'd like to let you know that a lot of media companies are not doing well. They're not doing well at all. We're talking about shows with millions of dollars of budget. Do you know this show runs on $6 and a bottle of petrol? That's what it is. And we're probably the only show that doesn't actually huff the rama. You know, we're not actually puffing on it. But I bring this up, and a lot of the people that you think that are doing well are not doing well, including in the media itself, right? You know, Kylie Cosmetics from Kylie Jenner, it might be going bankrupt. You just saw Ellen DeGeneres is selling a bunch of her properties. People aren't doing well. A lot of movies are losing money. A lot of right-wing media is not losing its grip. I think Fox News lost like 17% of its viewership. It's not good. And the most that you get in the right-wing media of profitability is Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, which is just the most fucking annoying bullshit. I can't even get involved in it. Or talking about trans people all the time. Like, geez, can we not talk about that one day? But when you actually try to talk about things, because the suppression, the censorship, they want Mr. Beast content to trend, right? So it's not really profitable. So it's really hard to make this content. It's really hard to be discovered. It's really hard to get your content out there. But I don't want to be the old me, because the old me thought that it would be fine working with different types of people. Like, I thought, oh yeah, working around and fighting alongside feminists would not be a problem. Well, it was a big problem. You know, letting all these people into our community and growing with them would be great. But they're just liberals, and they just want a life of liberalism. They don't want a life of a returning to our nation. And you know that because they think Nick Fuentes is evil. He's just a Catholic guy with pretty traditional right-wing views who's overtly honest. He's not a bad guy. And the hate that he gets is ridiculous. I mean, you could not like him if you don't want to like him. If you think he sucks because you just don't like his presentation style, okay, that's fine. Or if he's just not your cup of tea, it's fine. But to like somehow like think that he's evil, so everyone listens to him and they go, oh, I remember the first time someone's like, hey, I actually listened to something he made, and I was like, oh, this is not what people told me it was, right? They kind of make him to be a boogeyman, and he's not. He just has very normal right wing views on 50 years ago for today, and we disagree on some things for sure, but he's not a monster by any means. In fact, he may be one of the better commentators that exists today. So I just feel like the whole world is presented in a way that's fucked up, and I'm ready to fight harder and to push harder. And I hate being a, you know, cliche, but these people have fucked with me hard over the last few years. And it changes a man. That's all I got to say, is when you go through tough shit, it changes you and it makes you stronger. So don't ask me to be a weak fucking bitch. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be. And I cannot say that I'm ready to kill people on Rumble, that I'd be willing to assassinate or kill people, because you can't say stuff like that. So I won't say that I'm ready to lay hands or to take lives or to like slit throats, because right now the only people that are allowed to do that are illegal immigrants. And I'm not an illegal immigrant, but I'm not allowed to say those things. So I won't. So I definitely will not say that I'm at the point where people need to die, because I wouldn't say something like that, because that's not good to say.
Yeah. No, look, I think the biggest issue with, and we see it with the mainstream all the time, is they're not willing to evolve. And you've done that perfectly, Elijah. You've gone from your street content to what your original podcast was. You've done a few other podcasts for a few other companies, and now you're here with a slightly offensive. And you've done that successfully. You've evolved. Your audience has evolved with it. And this is where the mainstream and like the almost the legacies, even in the independent scene, are. And that's why they're dropping off like they are, is because so many more in the world are actually waking up to the problems we are actually facing in our communities and in our societies. And they just want to keep perpetrating the same boring, tired old narratives of transgender this, or liberal that, Democrat that, Republican that, Labor this. It doesn't matter where you go in the West. It's the same in France. It's the same in the UK, America, Australia. It's happening everywhere. The mainstream is falling off. And unless you're willing to roll with the punches, and you're going to get punched on. It's like, I cop it all the time. I mean, a simple photo I took from the most recent church and state conference with Senator Babette. They've turned it into a hate meme against me, calling us dumb and dumber. And well, I actually think it's pretty funny, because realistically, our biggest fans are the people that hate us at the end of the day. So yeah, look, if you're not rolling with the punches, you're not evolving with the times, and you're not looking at who your audience is as you evolve and catering towards them, you are going to fall off.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the reality is that there is a bit of a frustration where, you know, I've become a bit dejected with Christianity, the religion of it, not the faith. In fact, I think my faith is stronger today than it's ever been, but I reject the Protestant Christianity that I was raised in for three reasons. Number one, Christians have become, because of the prevalence of Protestantism, have become the laughingstock of the world and the biggest pushovers culturally. A lot of turn the other cheek, and you go into the churches and the people are fat, man. They're obese. They're if they're not like ELCA or some version of Lutheran that's already got a gay priest or whatever, even the evangelical churches, like, I mean, you know, they're going to heaven, but they're just so lame. Like, the women dress like men, the men dress like women. It's all emotions. It's very little, you know, liturgy and truth. And it's a lot of just like, well, we read the Bible verse by verse. And that's probably the only thing keeping some of your churches alive, which is great. And I'm not saying it's all bad, but it just leads to such ridiculous human beings, myself included. So I'm not, you know, chastising anyone. Obviously, them being Zionists is the funniest thing, because Jews hate Christians and they hate Jesus, and their Kabbalistic satanic religion, the Talmudic religion, is satanic. I don't even need to harp on that. It's just, it is. So you like what? You need to support satanic witchcraft serving people who hate Jesus? No, thank you. And like, well, some verse says this, dude, as if you're following the Bible. Like, come on, look at it also says, don't be a glutton and you're a fat fuck. So please. But on the flip side, I know a lot are good hearted, but I can't get over their lack of ability to fight. Like, what happened to the Orthodox and Catholic spirit of warfare, of fighting for your nation? It has broken my heart. And so, you know, sometimes you got to shed old wineskins, because you can't put old wine in new wine, new wine in old wineskins, right? So you have to shed. So I've been going through a shedding process of like sort of a rejection of a lot of what I was taught. And now my heart's being softened. I'm making better choices morally, personally. It's been a long road. I haven't been perfect, but I'm working on it. And now I'm starting to get more sensitive to the way my mood, the way I treat God. I've, you know, studying the word even when I don't feel like it, you know, and opening myself up when I get back to the States to, you know, to actually joining a congregation and getting discipleship and growing. Because I looked Christian then. I seemed Christian, but what I was a pussy. And I mean that seriously. It's like, okay, I didn't smoke, drink, didn't gamble, whatever. And oh, you know, I spoke, I didn't, well, people think I didn't swear on my show. It was just censored out and cut out, by the way, because it was pre-recorded. And I'd get fined on that network if I actually swore. So just so you know, it was like in America, you can't swear on most networks. But now I actually believe God, and I've seen God take me from the pits. I've seen him take a hard heart and bring it back to light. I've seen him give me hope again to be a father, to be a husband. And so my heart is in the right direction. Am I anywhere perfect? No. Do I have a lot of growth and maturity that I need to grow in? 100%. Is it probably confusing to some of the viewers at times to see? Because I, you know, because I'm like a human, I'm very imperfect, and I go back and forth sometimes, one foot in, one foot out. Sure. But ultimately, I think what I've noticed is like, I definitely don't want to go down the road of Protestantism, because I need to go back towards tradition and towards what the church was and what it is and the breath that it still has in it, because you can't be a lone Christian in that individualism of Protestantism of like, you're your own thing. It's your own walk, your own relationship. Do you not hear yourselves? That's such weird pollution and perversion. I went that route and it doesn't work. And it leads to a disunified church that can't accomplish anything. And I know you've had that awakening in your own personal life. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. I just think since we're in the last part of the show, I'd love to hear a little bit more about just what led you to wake up, man, or what led you, what was your life looking like before and where are you at now? Like, where are you at on your spiritual journey?
So obviously I was living a very secular atheist lifestyle prior to my heart attack. And again, as I said earlier, I spent 3 days laying in a hospital bed, asking myself the important questions of who, what, where, why, what was I leaving behind? What if I come through this, what kind of man do I actually want to be? And all of it led back to my faith. It was a couple of weeks after I'd gotten out of the hospital and that I turned to my wife and I said, I want to go shopping. And at the time we weren't living biblically. And she's like, oh, well, what do you want to go shopping for? I just want to go shopping. Like, at the time, I didn't even know what I was going shopping for. So we went shopping, went to a jeweler's, and I found a beautiful sterling silver crucifix. I still wear it to this day. I haven't taken it off since the day I put it on. It's about 3 years ago. And it just so happened that the lovely lady behind the counter was a Christian as well. She congratulated me on finding my way back into my faith and wanting to get closer to God. And that's exactly what we did. We continued going on. We started seeing what needed to be fought and what needed to be done. I started spending time with my Bible. After we found a church, I told my wife, we need to start living biblically. Like, and I had to drag her into it, kicking and screaming, because again, as a lot of women are, they're bogged down in their worldly emotions. And like, there were some nights there, she'd get home or I'd get home and she's just carrying on with this, that, and the other, or she'd make a mistake. And I'd take ownership for it, because as the Bible says, like, we are there to lead our wives. So her mistakes are partly my fault, even though she's the one that's gone and stuffed up. And she'd be getting all angry and carrying on. And I would just sit there and I would literally read from the Bible to her and just be like, no, this is what scripture says. This is, we agreed as a partnership, this was how we were going to go forward. And today we are happier, stronger, and a united front to go forth and take on the world. Like, my wife's not very vocal. She is within the church. Like, she does a lot behind the scenes that I can't really go and do, because as I'm sure you know, Elijah, a lot of the stuff that we go out and we say, there's a lot of people in the church they're not going to agree with, because in the last 100 years, we've allowed the culture to pacify the church. Like, and that's why a lot of churches out there are a bunch of pussies. You see them. They fly the abomination flag. They have gay pastors. And it's just like, I mean, we see the Catholic Church today blessing same-sex marriages. It's like, I'm sorry, but what? I mean, the Bible's pretty clear on where we stand on these subjects and on these topics. And it's like, how are we completely walking away from scripture when scripture is what we're meant to be living by? So yeah, I think the biggest issue is we've allowed culture to influence the church instead of church influencing the culture the way it's meant to happen. Like, it was for thousands of years, the church was the basis of the culture and how we shaped our nations. As I said earlier, the West was built on the back of Christianity. Christianity built the West. They use the line on me all the time here in Australia. Oh, Australia is a secular nation. Only 43.9% of the population is Christian. That's still the largest demographic, my dude. We are a Christian nation. It is in the preamble of our constitution. Like, we need to be encouraged. I usually don't like to play denominational politics, because I think it genuinely hurts us as a whole, as Christians. Like, we need to be coming together. But you're right in saying that there's a lot of churches out there. They are full of pussies. They are full of feminists. They're full of fat and unhealthy people. And we really need to be sort of looking at these people and going, bro, you're not walking a biblical life, and you need to start doing that. And that we really do need to be calling our brothers and sisters out in the church, because if we're not calling them out, who's going to?
Right. Well, I don't think it's, and I'm not even speaking against Protestants, because many are good people. I'm saying from my own personal experience that Protestantism leaves a lot of people to die in their own sin, because it leaves them in a place to where they're accountable only to God. And that's fine when you think about it in practice, but who is the body of Christ, right? And so I understand that the Catholic Church in many ways is very corrupt. I think there's many in the Vatican. I think the Pope himself is fairly corrupt. I don't think Catholicism and these things are perfect, but I think they threw the baby out with the bathwater, where maybe it started out with a very good Reformation, and the reformists maybe had righteous anger and were indignified with something to establish. But it's kind of like removing the tradition has sort of led to a slippery slope, kind of like redefining marriage or something like that, where it's kind of like back in 2012, they're like, oh, you want to legalize gay marriage? What's going to happen? You think we're going to start teaching your kids in school that they can be gay and trying to teach them about anal sex? And they're like, well, that happened like 4 years later. So that's what I think is the problem, is like, we have to draw the line somewhere. We have to establish ourselves in some regard, because if we don't, then we're susceptible to be eaten alive type of thing. And with faith, I don't have the answers, but I do feel convicted again, which I think is a good sign that you're moving in a good direction. I feel guilty before God when I do something wrong now. And I've been so hard-hearted against so many people. Because like pointing out the problems in the Black community, they're still just going to blame white people and get mad at white people. No matter how much you try to help them, throw billions, trillions at their countries, communities. They always say, right, what's the difference between Africa before and after they were given trillions of dollars? The gangs have Range Rovers now, right? That's like basically it, right? It's like, yeah, some people got the money and corrupted it. Why? Because Black culture looks at the past, at ancestors, and they're not forward thinking, and they believe in witchcraft and voodoo and a lot of stuff, right? My family's from Africa. People don't even know that, but it's true. And they know that, you know, even when a Black person would get hit on the side of the street, the only people that would help them were the white men in the area, because Black people didn't want to be held responsible for helping them off the street. That's a personal fucked up problem in your society. But they'd rather just blame white people, right? Not wondering like, well, we don't have money. Dude, the reason why you know about this currency and what's going on is because of these people. Now, of course, you can blame them for killing Gaddafi and those, which is true, or the, you know, oil companies for taking your resources, but you still got to take some responsibility. And so I think when it comes to the faith of things, I'm not going to get so divided in breaking up the church and people, because I can't really control what these denominations believe and what they think, but I can take responsibility. And I think acting in faith and seeking God, even when I feel hard-hearted or not sensitive, has begun to do things that I'm not even aware of. And I think there's a subconscious working of God in our lives when we take a step of faith and we start to try to work on our life and work on things, even if we don't have the feelings, right? It's kind of like going to the gym, even though you don't feel like it, like eating healthy, even if you don't want to, and you're craving something that's bad for you. I think a lot of our belief comes from that faith, right? In hope in what is unseen. And so that's not even a blind faith, but faith itself is unseen. So stepping out has really helped me personally. But the maturity, I think it's going to take years to undo a lot of the immaturity because of just how deeply rooted it is. And it's going to take only the power of God. And I don't mean that as a joke, right? People say, well, it's going to take an act of God to change me. It's like, yeah, literally, it's going to take an act of God to work on some of these areas in my life. Luckily, that's how God acts. So like, he says, test him. So I'm kind of testing him, but in a way of fear, right? Like, I'm not testing, like, change me. If you don't force your change, I'm like, God, this is scary because there's a, you know, I really am scared to be vulnerable ever again. And that translates with God because I've trusted people and I've been burned. So then you learn, fucking be hard-hearted, right? And don't let anyone in. Fuck them. And then we translate that to God and we cast on God our own insecurities from our own personal lives. And then we end up pushing him away, you know, when really there's no safer place than in the presence of God. So I'm just convicted. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been like pretty hard-hearted and like, I need that conviction back from God, only from God. And that's only going to come from acting in faith because my feelings haven't caught up yet. So I'm doing these things, not out of emotions, but just out of devotion. I think that's why the faith, where the Orthodox or Catholicism really comes in, is to help you with that structure and to keep up that devotion, because straight up, you're not going to feel like it all the time. And if you ever feel like it, and that's your whole faith, then you're not living by faith, you're living by feelings.
Yeah, no, look, you're 100% right there. It's the Catholic Church does get a lot right. Obviously, at the moment, it's got its own struggles there. But it really does get a lot right. So over the last weekend, my wife and I had the privilege of attending a tiny little Catholic parish over in Kangaroo Point that's on the grounds of one of the schools that was established by Australia's only saint, St. Mary MacKillop. And I can honestly say being there for Mass and taking Eucharist in that building was an absolutely fulfilling and holy experience. Like, I actually felt the presence of God in that building that day. Now, don't get me wrong, my home church back in Perth, we're Catholics, but we go to a Pentecostal church. The strength of the head pastor there, I can't deny. He is a warrior in every sense of the word, both physically and spiritually. The man is just like, you're in awe every time he speaks. But there's just a few things like within the, especially Protestantism itself, where there are a lot of us that are walking the wide road instead of the narrow path. And without those traditions, without that structure, without that, honestly, the time with the word, because that's the big difference between a lot of these Protestant churches and the Catholic Church, is when you're in Catholic Church and you're at Mass, you are physically sat there with the Word of God in your hand. A lot of these Protestant churches, they just you don't even have to take a Bible with you. They just flash the scriptures up on the screen and you just have a quick read. And it's like, well, that's not really time with the word of the Lord. Like, if it's not physically there in front of you and you're not physically reading it, like, yeah, sure, you've got a deacon or the priest at the front that's actually reading it along, but you're encouraged to actually sit there and read it. You're encouraged when it comes to times of worship and you're actually there going through the Psalms and the Song of Songs and things like that. It's like you need that physical time with the Word, or else you're just floundering around doing whatever it is you think you feel like you need to do. It always brings me back to the one verse that I always keep with me, because I usually always have my Bible in its own case and everything like that. And inscribed on the front of it is Proverbs 16:9. A man decides the desires of his heart, God orders his steps. And if we're not letting God order the steps we take to achieve the desires of what we want in his name, then we're not walking his path at all.
We're going to continue this at Censored TV only. Shout out to the people in the chat. Did Dixon ever join us on Rumble? Did he join us? No, he didn't. Oh man, maybe he did. We welcome him. It says he's in the chat. He made a Rumble account. Benjamin P.D. Dixon. Hell yeah, brother. Get me some of that. Hell yeah. Shout out to our locals chat here. If you can go to my screen here, they made a meme. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Oye vey, they said. And then Alex Lindquist just decided to use the N-word. You can get a censorship-free right here chat at elijahschaefer.locals.com. The easiest way to join and support, of course, is at censor.tv, promo code offensive for 20% off. Guys, we are demonetized pretty much everywhere. And I don't even, when I mention what's going on with YouTube, it doesn't even bother me anymore. Like, they'll probably half that until it goes to zero. Like, I actually spoke to my producer because, like, we're really trying to figure out if we even want to stream there anymore at all, right? That's the thing. Whether we're just going to upload, like, smaller videos. None of that stuff will probably fully change until I get back to the area. So we'll see. But shout out to you guys who are part of Censored. We'll be over the last part here. We're only doing at Censored TV. So this is the first time I think we're just doing a segment only here. A conclusory statement. And then you guys can ask questions. And you don't even have to super chat, I think. I think you can just ask questions in the chat. Shout out to Ichiban, the Prorator, Douchebag, Wizard Goose, Stan, Rocco D, Pee Pee Poo Poo, Hood Rat Matt, Redwater, blah, blah, Records Department. There's a lot of you guys. Some KKKKKKKKK person. Not to be confused with the triple K. It's just a bunch of Ks. And someone named Poopy. Excellent names. And some of the letter A. All right. We'll see you over there. Hayes, if people want to find you, if they want to follow you, if they want to support your work, how can they do that?
Okay. So primarily, we're exclusively over on Twitter or X, whatever you prefer to call it. You can find me there at Hayes_media_ or in the links to the show itself. If you'd like to go out and support me, we do have locals. You can find me there at Hayes Media Group, or one word. And if you'd like to help out financially, because we are 100% self-funded here at the Hayes Media Group, I work a 10 to 12 hour day day job to fund everything I do, you can use my Buy Me a Coffee link at Hayes Media Group, or one word there as well. Link is in the bio of my Twitter.
Excellent. And shout out, we really enjoyed Dixon in the chat. It's been so fun. It's been so fun. I really do. And I encourage you to get a Censored membership, Dixon. Join the Censored chat and join it. Believe me. Yeah. You know what? Angry liberal black people are some of my favorite people in the whole world. Really. Just a $390 billion deficit tax burden on white and Asian people in the United States. So thanks a lot, guys. And out here in Australia, there are $40 billion deficit. You guys are almost at $500 billion just in two countries of a deficit on the world. So as you shriek and get concerned about people, remember, your communities are alive because of us. You're welcome. Anyway, I'll see you guys over at Censored. We're going to take another 2-minute break here, and then we're going to do our last segment. Well, you guys can ask questions for free. We'll see you over there. Censored.tv in the corner, promo code offensive to everybody else. Have a great rest of the week. Make sure you follow Hayes, and we'll close out the show there. All right. What's up, Censored? We're live here. Shout out to everyone who's on Censored Only. I'm thinking about calling this the retardy party. I don't know, the after show. But it's a pretty good moment here. Right? Welcome to the retardy party. I wanted to bring up a closing discussion here of a segment. So there was this debate over if masculine women or women with masculine skills can be feminine. Okay, so there was an initial tweet that set things off. Give me a second here. So Samira Khan, Samira Khan put up this video and said, this accent needs to be illegal and women need to be banned from doing manual labor like this. There is nothing feminine about American women. American women are literally men. And I want to play the video here. So this girl uploaded this video. She just looks like she's a normal girl not wearing makeup. Let's watch it and let's see where the controversy jumps in.
Good morning, y'all. Quick update on the house because I've been pretty terrible about giving y'all these. We took a little break for noodling season and to put out boxes. Now that it's dried in, we can do it at our own pace. But here she is. We're going to stain all that wood a darker brown and the shutters when we get that on. We'll have handrails, of course. There's the carport over there. Quick run through. all these trusses are going to be exposed, and we're going to have old tin in the ceiling. Got Daddy and Paul up there working on a wall we're going to put up for the upstairs office. And we got Def Leppard playing in the background, of course. Back porch, beautiful view. And then the walkway to the carport. I'll try to be better about these, but you can also use my code Hannah25 for 25% off.
Okay, I'm not getting what the issue is with this video. Like, believe me, if we're going to pile on the bitches, I'm all for that because it's funny, but I don't understand this. This is a huge fight on the internet right now. But let's start with the first argument about her accent should be illegal. What do you think about that?
Yeah, nah, I think they're 100% correct. I've actually been following this argument because I saw the video the day that these tweets went out, and I'm sorry, but that accent, as an Aussie, that accent is 100%. Like, that's cute as a button. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I grew up watching shows like True Blood and things like that with the Sookie Stackhouses and accents like that. And it was just like, that's what a woman should sound like. Like, they genuinely sound cute as a button with an accent like that. These comments are probably going to upset my wife if she ever sees this, but
don't worry, it's the retarded party. Just tell her I was being retarded at the party.
That's right, it's uncensored. She doesn't have a censored subscription. Exactly. Awesome. But yeah, nah, look, I think it's sexy as fuck. I'll be straight up. Like, I generally don't like to swear in public like this, but nah, I think it is sexy as fuck. Like, that is.
Yeah, I thought you were saying you didn't like the accent. I was like, I thought the Southern accent's pretty nice.
No,
like it.
it's sweet as. Like, I love it. Look, she's just a fit, young, healthy, good looking woman. Like, I can't understand why she copped the hate she did. It's.
Well, Cocktoe's in the chat saying that the tomboy is effing hot. Are we still live on Locals? I don't even know. Let me see. I think we are. Are we not? Let me see. I don't know. Are we live on Locals still? Maybe we're not live. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on Locals there. Are we live Locals right now? I don't think so.
No, you're not.
No, we're not live. Yeah, there it is. That is Shane Whaley. Let me see. Okay. So we're on there. Maybe we should just keep these after parties on Locals and censored going forward. Let me just do this. Let me write this for us. All right. Sorry, they were just freaking out that it wasn't on Locals. I'm like, hey, give me a second here. I'm just doing this on here. I didn't understand that either because I thought, like, I think you don't want a woman who's necessarily out like working like a man, but you do want to, if a woman's helpful around the house, like if my woman had home skills and could help me with like installing stuff, I don't think I'd be upset with that. That probably means she probably has had a good relationship with her father or grew up with brothers. Like, and I don't like the tomboy girls who's like, you know, like in the movies, the indie girl who's like, that's not how you change a tire. And they try to show up the boys, but a girl's that's just excited about her new dream home. That's like, we're putting up and she knows the wording. She knows what's going on. She understands what insulation is. What's weird about that? This thing called homesteading. And like, am I gay because I know what canning food is? Just because I know how to cook dinner, is that gay? Obviously my wife cooks most of the meals, but I cook sometimes and it's good to know how to cook as a man. Like as a woman, I just feel like it's not feminine to know how to do these things. I think the difference is if she's a tradie, she may end up being a little rough because that's a very masculine male environment. So you may not want that if you're trying to be a cute girl. It may toughen you up in ways that you wouldn't make you attractive. But just like working around the home, I just think people are just too online too much. Like, get off the internet.
Yeah, no, look, you're 100% correct there. I mean, like, as a tradesman myself, I'd love it if my wife, well, a little bit. I'd love it if my wife could actually understand some of the things I had to say. Now, a woman like that, I could go and I could have a proper yarn with her about my day job or what I've done for the day or what needs to be fixed around the home or something that's wrong with the car. And she'd actually understand what I'm talking about. Whereas someone like my wife, who is a proper feminine woman, and she wouldn't do anything like that. The most she does is weed the gardens. I can send her to Bunnings or Home Depot, as you Americans would call it, and she'd spend 3 hours walking around there looking for a left-handed screwdriver. So I don't necessarily think having a woman like that, especially if you are of that kind of background, as your partner, as your mate, is a bad thing, because not only then is she going to be able to get in and assist you when you need it, because as you can see there, it's pretty clear hubby's the one that's doing the majority of the work. She's just taking a bit of pride in it, and she's talking about she's going to be doing the staining. Like, that's not real a paint. It's basically painting. Like, that's not overly masculine. That's not something that you should be hating on a woman for doing. It's something similar, simple, sorry. And I mean, how many women in the old days were painters? Like, that was what they did in their free time. Well, they did sewing and stitching and things like that.
Well, I think Ian Miles Chong is correct on this, where he said, Hannah Baron represents a strong female ideal. You may not like it, but this is what peak femininity looks like. One thing I like about Ian, and I want to say this because everyone has a lot of opinions on him, is his ability to have opinions on things to where it almost feels AI. Like it's like you don't know you're like talking about a guy in Kuala Lumpur. It's like, this is the strong female ideal. And we're talking about like Southern Western work ethic. And this guy's in a Muslim majority, like island. It was not really an island, but whatever. I don't know. I don't even know. Malaysia. No, that's near. Where's Malaysia?
No, it's island.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. Correct. Okay, I was like fucking up my geography there. And so you're like, I'm just going, wow, how do we do this? So here's another video of hers. I also think too, that everyone saying that she's not hot, I really want to say this, and this is going to sound disrespectful to Kez, but I hold true to this and I only tell the truth. This woman is a 10 hot wife.
Yep.
And there is a big difference between a whore and a wife hot. Because a whore, everyone wants to fuck, and they might fuck everyone. You don't want to marry that. And a wife, the reason why it's not a diss on your wife or on women to say that is because there is work that women could do to look like a sex object. And the point of what I'm basically saying is some women look like sex objects, and they are, and that's all they should be. And a lot of them paid a lot of money to look like that, with the filler and the boob jobs and the nose jobs and the hair extensions and the makeup tutorials and everything. And they look like they want to have sex because that's what they pay money to look like. Wives may look like that, but be careful, but they probably shouldn't look like that. What you're looking for is a woman that didn't get a bunch of work done, that looks natural, that looks wholesome, that's cute, okay? And that's very important to realize. So when I say this woman is a 10 wife, this looks like a woman who's gotten no work done, who is cute, and makes a perfect wife. Because to me, for a wife, they're either a 0 or a 10. It's either a wifeable material that you'd want to reproduce with or not. Not everyone has to find your wife attractive. Hopefully not everyone wants to fuck your wife. They shouldn't. And that's part of the unity in the marriage. And you should never have to explain your wife to other people. Like, there's guys that get all defensive, like, well, I find my wife attractive. Well, I hope you do if you married her. Okay? Yeah, you mean your wife doesn't look like a whore that every guy wants to have sex with? That's good, actually. You don't want your wife to look like a whore because she probably will end up leaving. So I think it's very interesting, though, if we watch this video, a lot of people find her attractive. And I think girls don't understand that, too. You don't have to look like a whore and be the desire of every man in order to find a good man. Because a lot of men aren't looking for that look. That's all I'll leave it at. And I think that's where girls don't understand. Looking average in the terms of the world, you may still look like a 10 wife material because you are reproductive asset here. I'm being serious. And Kez and I talk about this, so I don't mind talking about it on the show, that girls need to stop freaking out and getting all this work done because it's just not necessary to get married and to have children. Guys aren't looking for this. Check this out. Oh, let me refresh this. I don't know why. Internet problems. Here we go. Wait, what's going on?
Y'all ever wondered what a 500-foot roll of inch and a quarter pecs looks like? And if you want to know how fun it is to unroll this mess, not very. Especially when it's, you know, 100 freaking degrees out here in South Alabama, but at least the heat will help it straighten out. Appreciate y'all.
I don't see the problem here.
Nah, look, there's no issue there. That is, you're right. That is 100% wife material right there. I mean, if I was dating a bird like that, I wouldn't be dating her very long. There'd be a ring on that finger. I mean, she's got everything. Like, yes, sure, she's, and this is the problem with today's society, is pornography has warped the minds of, in particular, our young men, that they think that the only good-looking women out there are the ones that have had all this extra work done, or they wear all this makeup and fillers, or they've got an OnlyFans. And it's like, I'm sorry, the last thing my wife is doing is getting a fucking OnlyFans. And look, traditionally, my wife's not a traditional attractive woman to most people, but to me, she is. She's the ideal kind of woman that I want raising my children. She's kind, she's caring, she's sweet, she's all these sort of things. And you can see just in these couple of videos that that's the kind of woman she is. Like, she's not there swearing, carrying on. She's not wearing a face full of makeup. She's not out there showing her butthole on the internet. And like, that's what you want in a wife. You don't want a woman that half of America's seen their butthole. Like, I mean, if that's the kind of woman you want to go and marry, I'm sorry, bro, you might want to reassess your life choices.
Yeah, and I think there was an argument about now that being attracted to tomboy girls is gay. I don't think that's a tomboy.
Nah, that's,
dude,
not.
That's not a tomboy. I'm sorry, but that's not a tomboy. Okay, and this guy Franklin said, if it is gay to be attracted to Hannah Baron, then call me Barack Obama. Here's another video. Here's another video right here.
Sweet little Cohen Stone here just set up my new Elite Cure. This is like my sixth time shooting it. So if I miss the whole deer, I'm sorry.
I find that there's also this new attack on Southern women. Look, I think this is maybe the big city Elijah talking, but I don't think it's weird for girls to dress cute. I just don't want them to dress like sluts. And I know there's always going to be a disagreement, right? Whether women should even be wearing pants, whether, what do I mean by that? Should they be dressed like whores or be wearing dresses? We can talk about that. But I've known a lot of girls who are fun and they're not whores. You know, my wife was a virgin when we got married, and she's always been a lot of fun. We went to clubs together, and she would dance and stuff, and she would never sleep with guys, and she wasn't into that. She'd go with girlfriends. Not all girls are whores that are trying to have fun. And there's a side of Twitter that's like, well, if a girl goes to a club, she's a whore. It's not actually true. But she did have friends that were whores. She did have friends that were whores. Some of her friends were not whores. Some of her friends are still virgins. Then they haven't gotten married. And they're in their mid-20s, and they still are not married, and they're still virgins. And they still drink and go out and hang out, and they're fun girls, and but they're not whores. And so not all girls who have fun are naturally whores. You can kind of tell the 100 cock stare, right? It's the eyes, like the way they look.
Yep.
It's the eyelashes. It's the way they do their makeup. Just because a girl's fun doesn't mean she's a whore. So this girl doesn't look like a whore. And if she is a whore, then she could be, and I could be wrong, and fuck me, I don't really care. Okay, but my point is like, these arguments are just when people on the internet spend too much time on the internet. And I've been off Twitter for like a week just because of law enforcement investigations. I know I posted a bunch of random shit today. That's just fulfillment. If you guys don't know, I get paid a lot to post stuff on Twitter. So I had back due like 10 days now. So I had to post it all today. So if you're wondering why there was like a ton of like movie ads and like Tim Tebow promotions and stuff, that's because that's like partly my job, right? So, and that's fine. And some of them even say hashtag ad in the post. So, but it's values that I care about. But like, it's the same kind of people who get mad at me for working with people and making paid posts. that you're a grifter. Am I a grifter or am I just making money? Is it just my job? Like, are you a grifter for working at a pharmacy? Or are you just working a job? Like it's I'm for fun, but it's also my job. And I'm transparent about it. So I feel like girls like this, it's the same kind of people. They don't want you to have money. They don't want you to be happy. They don't want girls to be able to have fun. And I think there is a particular part of the internet that does actually hate women. I hate them too, but for a different reason. I hate women because I love good women and I hate what women have become. They hate women because they can't get bitches.
Yeah, no, look, it's very much like that. As to the pants argument, I'll weigh in there. Only we're practical. For instance, my wife is not allowed to wear pants to church. Must be wearing a skirt or a dress, and it must be below the knees. I'm sorry, she's my wife. I don't want her looking like a whore. It's as simple as that. I'm very much the same with my daughters, but I only have so much control there. So, look... The attack on women today is quite simply because they don't want our women being real women. My wife's currently watching, because we're over here, we don't have all our usual stuff, so we're stuck watching a little bit of free-to-air TV, and she's gotten on to watching this show we have out here called Married at First Sight. And
oh, brother, my wife watches that.
Dude, I've watched a couple of episodes as I'm going to bed with her the last couple of weeks or so, and I'm just like, there's a reason these women are in their mid to late 30s and they're not married. Like, each and every single one of them has massive amounts of work done. Like, they literally look like whores, and they carry on like it too. Like, there's one on there. The moment you say one thing untoward to her or call her out on her bullshit, she runs off crying. Oh, no, get the cameras away from me, carrying on like a bitch. And it's like, I'm sorry, but like, that's not the epitome of what our women should be today.
No, you know what? And it's my wife's birthday today. And so I probably should be wrapping up because it's literally my wife's birthday. But to be fair, even though I'm working on her birthday, which seems maybe normal to people, I did get her. Our TV blew up, by the way, and I'm not buying a new one because I'm getting out of here soon. And so I got her a nice iPad, you know, to watch her shows, one of the good ones. So I take care of my girl, but I take care of her out of a joy of my heart because she's a good girl. And I haven't always been a good boy in my life, but she still loves me because I provide well. And I take care of her and I'm kind to her. I'm not mean, you know? And I think that that's where it's kind of funny. A lot of the reason why I don't like a lot of arguments about men and women online is because it's with women online.
Yep.
So it's like, there's just not a lot of winning. Like it's like I've reevaluated a lot of my arguments recently. When a bunch of N's got together and started, trying to kill my family this last week. Number one, not surprised. Number two, I was just reminded, I was like, oh yeah, I don't really like this community very much. And because they always try to win by going illegal. They're always yep. resort to illegal activity. Like you get into an argument and they shoot you, you know? And it's not that I hate anyone who rejects that community who has the same skin color. I'm fine with my black homies. You're all cool with me. I just don't like the black community. Like there's some cool gays out there, but the gay community is not. So if you just happen to be gay, you know, whatever, I can be your friend. But if you're like LGBTQ, you know, I don't think I want to vibe in your area. So I just think like with women, it's like, I don't like to get involved in some of these things. And it's been tiring because I noticed that it's like, and this is no shit on anyone, but the girl Samira Khan, who's upset about this, I don't know why. I mean, I know why. I have her blocked for a very, very serious reason. And then Ian Miles Chung is, from my understanding, unmarried and just like lives in Malaysia. So you have like this bitch feminist and like an unmarried guy talking about like just a happy girl who's like building a house with her husband. Fuck everyone involved in this conversation. That's what I'm trying to say, right? It's like,
yep.
Who's involved in this? Who's involved in this? Why? Like, couples are just doing couple things. These are retards. That's all I have to say. That's my conclusion. Everyone involved in this is retarded, and I'm not being mean because I'm retarded too.
Yeah, nah, look, my personal opinion, and I do adhere to it in my personal life, for the most part, women shouldn't be allowed online. My wife, she's on Twitter solely to retweet and like my posts. She's not allowed to interact with anyone outside of a very specific list of people that I trust, because I've either worked with them for a long time now or I know them personally in real life. Outside of that, the only other thing she has is Facebook for communicating with her family, because obviously her family's back in the Philippines or over in New Zealand. So, and they communicate via Facebook. It's the easiest and simplest way for international people to communicate with each other. It's cheap. You just need an internet connection. Outside of that, my wife is completely offline, and that's the way I like it. It doesn't bring drama into my life. It means I don't have to worry about her getting harassed or stalked. And like, it's the way it should be, because I mean, let's be honest, like, women, they're emotional creatures and that's what they feed on. So if they can go out and cause drama and start shit, they're going to go and do it.
Yeah. I think, like, okay, this sounds really gay and retarded, because life is gay and retarded. But after I split ways with my old network a few years ago, and I watched people try to prevent me, like people not just like taking away my income, but trying to prevent me from making income again and still trying. I got smarter and I started diversifying my income strategy by making money in like six places, so that even if one gets taken away, and then living under my means, right? So I live vastly under my means and I make money from more sources now. And I'm not going to go into my personal financials, because that's boring to people. And that's not the point of it. The point of it is that I'm doing better now and I'm safer. Now, nothing can save me from the fact that my money is losing its value in my bank account and I don't know what to do with it, because meaning if I make money, it's like it becomes less and less every day, right? Every dollar we make just becomes like valueless. It's just insane. I was just reading that it's $11,400 more you need to make this year than last year in the U.S. to have the same standard of living, which is about $18,000 Australian. So
wow.
The inflation is so high, you have to make an additional $18,000 this year Australian just to live the same lifestyle you did last year. So look, nothing can save me from that. So I don't think there's any way to escape judgment or anything. But I think that in life, it's impossible to get through life without learning. And I think what I've learned in my life is like, essentially, if you give a moose a muffin, it's like, if you work with a feminist, don't get upset when they act like one. If you befriend gays, don't get offended when they act like sassy bitches. If you're gonna go ahead and work with atheists, don't get surprised when you get screwed, right? It's like those types of things. So I think that it's like, I feel personally with these arguments with women and stuff, is it's like, why do you think you can convince a woman that's regularly online? And I'm not talking about if there's any women watching this that are like older women who watch shows at night and your kids are older, whatever it is. I know there's different situations, but the women that are habitually online, right? You might just be a casual viewer. Trying to convince a woman who cares about her follower count and likes and stuff that she shouldn't be online, he's like convincing a girl with an OnlyFans that she shouldn't have an OnlyFans. Once a woman bites the attention cake and gets a good chunk of that, sex to men is like attention to women. It's really hard to get in the way of attention once women start getting it. And it's pretty much impossible to pry their fingers off of it. So, you know, and we already know, you argue with women in your own life, you're always wrong anyways. I swear, women are victims, man.
Yep.
It's everything is about them. Like, they're not even involved in something, and they'll text you and they're like upset at you, and you're like, you're not involved in this. You know what I mean? Mate. Like, you could don't share your problems with women, because if you do, it's going to become about their problems and then they're going to cry. So that's why I mentioned share your problems with women, because it becomes about them.
Mate, I get in trouble for dreams she has.
Yes.
It's like, bro, I can't control your mind. What do you want me to do? Like, it's your dream. It's clearly a hang up you have. You need to deal with something, not
literally.
Me. Like, I'll get up in the morning and she's just pissed off with me. And it's like, what the f did I do? I was asleep all night. I didn't steal the blanket tonight. Oh, well, in my dream, it's like, yep, right, I cool. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to get a coffee and a smoke. I'm good.
Yeah, they're upset. Dude, I was watching this cocaine addict guy on TikTok, and he's like, you know, when I used to do cocaine, I'd go to bed, you know, fucked up, and I'd wake up, and I didn't know if my wife was upset or happy based on what I did. I go, brother, it's not the cocaine. That's just life. Like, you didn't know if your wife was going to be upset or happy today? You mean you live with a woman?
Welcome to marriage, bro.
Yeah. What does that have to do with your cocaine? Brother, if it might be the cocaine she's mad at, but trust me, go get sober from cocaine, she'll still be mad at something if she wants to be.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the female spirit. They're discontent, and they, for some reason, project a lot.
They are fickle beasts.
But we love them, and they make our offspring, and they're cute, and they smell nice, and I'm not going to be crass here, but we also like to do other things with them, too. So it's nice, and it's nice to have that, because... sex as a man is a necessity, it is not a luxury. And if you don't have it, you'll get it somewhere. And it's a lot easier to work on yourself if you have a way and a good outlet. But be ready, guys. Learn to be without sex, because there's seasons of life where you're not going to have sex in marriage. And that's absolutely true. And people always say that, oh, you have a sexless marriage. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, there will be times where you want sex and it just doesn't work with your schedules. There'll be times where you just don't. There will be times in your marriage you don't really like each other. No one says that, but there's going to be times where you don't like each other. There's going to be times where she's pregnant and you can't. There's going to be, I don't have to talk about some pregnancy. It's like towards, you know, just times she's going to be in pain or morning sickness and she's literally nauseous for like weeks straight and just can't. You smell weird to her. All of a sudden she doesn't like how you smell. There's going to be times where she has a baby and her vagina rips open and she can't have sex for 6 to 8 weeks. And even then she might not be feeling up to it. Now you got to go months without sex and you have a healthy marriage and you're great, but she physically can't have sex. And you go, oh, well, she can, you know, give me hand jobs and stuff. Okay, go ahead and try to get that from her while she's with the baby 20 hours a day. And she doesn't want to be touched. You know what I mean? So welcome to the real world. So I just want to always prepare people for reality. And let people know that it's not all daisies, rainbows, and butterflies. You've got to have some self-control. It's very hard, though. I'm not going to make my point here. I've always said I'm not really against harems, although I don't think they're biblically supported. But I understand the point of harems. Having one queen, but at least some, like, a harem. Me and Kez have talked about that. And she's like, oh, I don't really know. It's like, yeah, but if you're rich enough, like, I don't know. I just think that like the kings having harems makes sense to me because you don't want to deal with the emotions of multiple women. So I don't want multiple queens, but having a harem for the seat, then you can have access when you need to, then it's not cheating. And then you have access, but I don't know. Maybe that's just the worldly guy in me, but I don't know. What do you think about harems? I'll end on that.
That's a tough one. I mean,
look, like my wife might hear this. I hate harems.
No. We've actually discussed this. So obviously there is biblical precedent for it. I mean, you look at Abraham. I mean, his wife literally gave her handmaiden to him so that he could be fruitful to give him a son to continue his line. So there is some biblical precedent for it. Whether it's exactly what God wanted, I don't really know. Obviously, we don't really practice it in Christianity, so I think there's a very big gray area there. And obviously, we see it practiced a lot within Islam, and that in itself sort of, for myself personally, raises a couple of eyebrows. So, yeah, look, I mean, if you've got the money for it, I mean... I'm a dude at the end of the day. Go for it, really. I mean, if you got the money for it, go for it.
Yeah, I think the kidding with the harem, though, is that people say, well, your wife's got to be on board. And I think that's why it was the kings that had harems, because I think they were in such a position of power that their wife didn't really have to be on board with anything. So that's what I think. But I will say that's what's unironic, is that your wife would be more likely to leave you for being poor than she would have a harem. And that's a very unpopular statement. But I promise you this, if you had money and power, your wife would put up with a harem. But if you were poor and you even looked at porn, she might divorce you. That's not a joke. It's not a joke. But your amount of power and money that you have is directly correlative to how much bullshit a woman will put up with. And certain things might not even be bullshit if you have a certain amount of money and power. And that's a super, I didn't say it's biblical. I'm not saying Christians practice that. I'm talking about human nature, right? Which is big difference. So I'm not promoting harems. I'm not saying you should have them. I don't have enough money or power to have that. But I'm saying that, you know, when Tate and people talk about certain things, they're not necessarily arguing that it's a morally a good thing. It's just true. And women claim to care about a lot of things, but the truth is that they're poor, and the richest guys have like 4 or 5 wives or 7 girlfriends, and they're often high quality people too. And women fight for these men, and it's and no one likes that. And the reason why they don't like it is because you're probably too poor to be able to admit that it's true, because you don't want women to know that you think that because you're too poor to admit it. And that's not talking shit. It's just the truth. A lot of guys disagree with a lot of crap publicly because they're too poor to accept it as reality, and myself included. So I'm not talking shit on anyone in the chat. I'm just talking about reality. Anyway, my guest, that was our retardy party here on Censored Only After Show. I think we went an extra like 40 minutes or 30 minutes. Hayes, how can people find you and follow you?
Once again, you can find me exclusively over on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Hayes_media_. If you'd like to help support me financially, because we are 100% self-funded, you can do so over on Locals at Hayes Media Group, all one word, or over on Buy Me a Coffee at Hayes Media Group, all one word again. Links to that are in the bio of my Twitter profile.
Amen. Go ahead and find him, follow him, and support him. My name is Elijah Schaefer. The rest of you guys watching at Censored, thank you for supporting. And to Locals, I'll figure it out. I can't figure it out. It's really hard for me to figure a lot of things out while I'm here in Australia. I cannot figure things out. I can't go to dinner with people. I can't get on planes. I can't fucking hammer things out. I'm not going to get into it, but it's very frustrating working over here, and I'm correcting that issue. So I got to go back to the States, and I'll see you guys there. To the rest of everyone watching, thank you to my guest, Hayes Media Group. Follow him, support him, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.